This message is going to deal with the subject of race. The message stems from my growing dissatisfaction with what I hear from people in the conservative sector, patriots, Christian leaders, and ministers on the subject of race. People who are supposedly concerned about the truth, but do not seem to have the truth in this area. They stumble and they fall and they commit errors, gross errors, in matters of obvious history and law and biblical truth on this subject. Well, why do I pick the race issue? What's the big deal about that? Just compare what you hear these people say about race with the anti-Christ establishment forces. As I listen to these conservative people, I hear them basically say the same things that I hear come from the establishment, the media, the government, and so forth. One conservative radio talk show host I heard recently was talking on the subject of race, and he says, well, I just look at it as on the individual level. I look at them as an individual and judge them according to an individuality type of basis. Well, this is exactly what I hear from the establishment. Same line, same principle. That's what they say. Others also will mimic and follow the establishment position. In every other issue, now these conservatives and patriots and so forth will be at odds with the establishment, except on one issue, the issue of race. When it comes to race, then, there is an agreement and harmony. They can talk about any other thing they want that's contrary to the current establishment position. They can talk against anything that's politically correct. But when they talk about race, it's different. This is why I think the race issue is a big deal. Let's just ask one question. What is it that the establishment media makes the biggest deal about? What do they get the most excited about? What do they hit the ceiling about the most? It's not about money or taxes or the Federal Reserve or even guns or abortion or anything else. It's the subject of race. You listen to them and watch them, and that's what they get the most excited about and the most adamant about, far above any other issue. These conservative people that I know, they know that if they don't follow the establishment line, indignation will come upon them like 10 tons of bricks. They know that. So when it comes to the establishment position on race, they basically concede and compromise on this one issue. This should tell any thinking person that there is something very important about this subject. It would seem that this subject of race is a very critical key, a missing key, needed to understand the full picture of what's going on today. Maybe this is why a lot of these conservatives and patriots don't have all the answers, and why they're so confused about current events. And many people are confused and perplexed about current events today. It is because they don't understand the issue of race. Pause. Here's what Benjamin Disraeli said, who was the Jewish Prime Minister of England in the 19th century. No man will treat with indifference the principle of race. It is the key of history. And why history is so often confused is that it has been written by men who were ignorant of this principle and all knowledge it involves. Well, people are going to be confused about history if they don't understand the principle of race, and they're going to be confused about current events if they don't understand the subjects of race. The money issue is in part a race issue. You can study the issue and you can understand it to a point, but you're never going to fully and completely understand what's going on and what money is and what the problems it presents are until you understand the race issue. The issues of abortion, crime, drugs, taxes, government tyranny, social debauchery are all in part race issues, directly or indirectly. So before these topics can be discussed and the relationship to race understood, you must first get the basics clarified on race. The questions and problems surrounding race will never be understood or solved until they are treated as any other question or problem. One of the first things done in solving any problem is going back to the foundation, going back to the beginning, going back to the origins of it. We need to understand the source or origin of a thing involved in the problem or question raised. The origin of a thing will ultimately lead you to an understanding of the true nature of the thing involved and its meaning. So once we understand the origin of the races, most of all the other questions raised regarding races will be answered. The origins questions will then also help answer a lot of these other questions about current events. So don't waste your time on any other argument on race until that is solved. If somebody starts talking upon the subject of race, you stop them and nail them down on the origins. The origins is the key. Without that, you're just going to be misguided and misled and going off in all sorts of directions. And that's what we see. People going off in all directions. Once you have that down, the origins, that's going to tell you everything. Every other issue, race issue then, and related issue will naturally fall in place. The beginning is just going to lead you to the proper end and conclusion. By the mere fact that the different races do exist proves ipso facto that they do have an origin. Somewhere, somehow, they came into existence. The Negroes, the Eskimos, the Orientals, the Europeans, the Indians came into being somehow. How did they come into existence? Well, there's lots of ideas. We heard earlier the blacks thought that they came from outer space. Some science fiction will tell you that we've all come from outer space. We're the result of environment, some will say. Or evolution, or from Adam and Eve, or from Noah's three sons. These are some of the explanations. The two main explanations or theories on the origins of races prevail. They're termed creationism and evolutionism. Evolutionism, most people understand because it's what the media is always shoving down our throats. How people have evolved from the lower life forms and so forth. And most Christians seem to follow and embrace the creationist concept. But what is creationism? Where do they come from? Well, I'm not sure exactly where the word came from, but back in 1925, they had this famous Scopes monkey trial where these two supposedly concepts were being debated in a court trial. They didn't use the word creationism then. They used the words fundamentalism and biblical account of creation. It was sometime thereafter that the terms creationism and creationist started to be used. They're being used by certain Christians to support their belief in what they thought the Bible said about the origins of life, the universe, and so forth. In the 60s and 70s, the term scientific creationism came into being, started to be used. It was used to lend more credibility to the concept of creationism. This is because the people who were supporting this creationist concept were being made fools of by the unscientific things that they were saying. So they had to come up and embrace the concept of science and try to merge it in with what their philosophy is. And it was also to counter what the evolutionists were saying. Creationism is basically another Judeo-Christian concept that has been developed being based on the apparent meaning or literal interpretation of things found primarily in the book of Genesis, but other parts of the Bible as well. And like so many other similar concepts, it is riddled with errors and false premises. And when analyzed, you find out that this concept of creationism is basically the same in principle as evolutionism. It's just like Democrat and Republican, where they seem to be at odds with each other. But when you go down deep enough, you find out that there really is no difference between them at all. Even though it appears that they're at war with each other and they're totally diverse, they're really basically the same in principle. When it comes to the origin of the races, we are again presented with two apparently opposite and differing concepts, that of creationism and evolutionism. Sort of like a dialectical scheme. And like any dialectical scheme, the conflict between creationism and evolutionism polarizes people and causes them to choose one or the other. While at the same time keeping them blind to other alternatives. Well, there are basically two alternatives regarding the general premise of the origin of races. That is that they either are of a common origin or a diverse origin. They either are derived from one single source or they are not. Both evolutionism and creationism teach the common origin concept. Thus, in principle, they are the same. Let us examine each of these to prove this. Now, evolution teaches that all races of man evolved from a common ancestral population of ape men that lived in Africa about 4 million years ago. They all evolved out of that, thus all the races are related. Well, creationism also teaches that all the races came from a common ancestral population derived from Adam and Eve. Thus, all races are related. I quote something here from a book called Scientific Creationism. This is one of the foremost books on the subject of the creationist concept. And it's put out by the technical staff and consultants of the Institute for Creation Research, edited by Henry M. Morris, who's one of the foremost leaders in creationism. Page 180, it states, all of the different tribal groups among men have developed or evolved from the originally created man and woman and are still basically one biological unit. So here they got two concepts of evolution, developed or evolved, and the idea of one biological unit. Also, we got I got a quote here from a book called In the Beginning by Walter T. Brown. He's another famous creationist. It's published by the Center for Scientific Creation, Phoenix, Arizona. This is what he says. The biblical account tells us that we are all descended from Adam and Eve and from Noah and Mrs. Noah. Consequently, we are all cousins. Now, I've heard evolutionists say those very words. We are all cousins. We are all related. We all came from that same general ancestral population. Therefore, we're all related. Evolutionists also assert that the original common ancestor possessed all the genetic information necessary to produce the racial types. That is to say, this original ape-man population had a variety of genetic traits in them to produce all of the racial types. Well, creationists put forth the same concept. Again, quoting from Brown in the beginning, he says, what did Adam and Eve look like? Obviously, their genes were coded for all the traits that humans have today. The same concept. With all the genetic traits in that original population group from which all the races came. And so, That's how they derive. Evolutionists also teach that the races were formed when parts of this original population of primitive ape men migrated out of Africa and settled in small, isolated groups, allowing their different traits to develop by inbreeding. Creationists also promote this concept of migration and isolation. Quote again from In the Beginning book, Scientific Creationism book. This is what it says. Now he's comparing evolutionism and creationism. He says, creationists also have the problem of explaining the origin of the different tribal physical characteristics from one common ancestral population. Obviously, segregation into small groups is necessary in either model if distinctive characteristics are to emerge and become stabilized in each group. See, he's practically citing evolution concepts. Same thing. It had to be segregation in small groups. Same thing what evolutionists say. And he also says something about the concept of rapidly developing physical distinctives in small inbreeding populations fits perfectly into the creation model. And it fits perfectly into the evolution model because they're the same in principle. And then in Darwin's book, in the beginning, he's got a subheading that says small, isolated populations. So the population of people has a large set of genetic characteristics. Any smaller group from this population that moves to an isolated region, such as an island, will, in general, have a different set of genetic characteristics. Well, how in the world is that so? When the Europeans came here from America, did they have a different set of genetic characteristics? If we take some apple trees out of an apple orchard and transplant them to an island, are they going to have different genetic characteristics than those other apples did in that orchard? Are they going to become pear trees? Or if they're green sour apples, are they going to become red delicious apples? That's what he's saying. That's evolution. Evolution doctrine. Evolutionists put a lot of emphasis also on the environment as a factor in the formation of the races. Different environments, they say, help produce different racial characteristics. Now here I got another book. It's called The Answers Book. It's a book that answers things on creationism for creationists who think along that line. And they again support the evolutionary concept on environment. I'll quote from them on page 146. They're talking about it, this version from the Tower of Babel. The people would tend to move away or be forced away from each other into different environments. As these groups migrated away from Babel, they encountered new and different climate zones. This would also have affected the balance of inherited factors in the population. And again, in the next page, they say, so we see that the pressure of the environment can affect the balance of genes within a group. So it's the same basic principle. All they're doing, basically, is quoting evolutionary doctrine. So when it comes to the race issue, both evolutionism and creationism talk the same language, they use the same principles, and they use the same words. We've got something else here from Morris's book on scientific creationism. You still don't believe that they say the same thing. Page 180. Quote, one of the most vexing problems today among evolutionary biologists and anthropologists is the question of the origin of the races. If indeed all mankind has the same ancestors, and no one race is better than the other, as most modern evolutionists affirm, then how did they ever get to be so different in appearance? It would seem that distinct race must have its own that each distinct race must have its own peculiar history of segregation, mutation, selection, and adaptation, or it could not have developed so differently from the other races. This is exactly out of a evolutionary book. Same word, segregation, mutation, selection, adaptation. They always use the word developed. Why don't they just say evolve? Same thing. Creationism is evolutionism. Just like George Bush is a Democrat. No. Creationism embraces evolutionism. Creationism embraces evolutionism. Quoting from the answer, Creationist Answer Book, page 133, quote, virtually all evolutionists would agree with biblical creationists that all races have come from the same original population. So they agree and they're in harmony completely in principle. And you know, race is really the only area that these two things agree on. You can listen to them about other things, about how old the earth is and the formation of the universe and how old that is. And they're at odds with each other fighting like cats and dogs. But when it comes to this race issue, there's harmony and agreement. Just like those conservatives and patriots and Christian leaders are in harmony and agreement with the Antichrist establishment when it comes to the race issue. All other issues, they're at odds with. So both evolutionism and creationism teach common origin of the races and the evolution of the races from that common population. Basically, the only difference is the length of time that this development or evolution occurred. So what is the reason then for promoting this idea of a common origin? What is the end objective or synthesis of this dialectical situation? Well, it's the formation of a new concept, a new idea that had not existed before in the areas of science and theology. It is to promote the unscientific and non-biblical concept of the brotherhood of man and equality of the races doctrine. And if you go back and look at all the naturalists, they never embraced that concept. If you go back and look at theology, they never embraced that concept. It's a new concept. And notice now how this opens the door to the New World Order philosophy. If we all came from a common ancestral source, then we are all one. All persons are brothers, cousins, and so forth. In fact, this was the goal of the United Nations. One of the United Nations things they established was UNESCO. It's a United Nations Education Scientific Cooperative Center of some sort. And this is what they said in 1949-1950. Well, this is what one author said about him. He said, the purpose of this was to discredit racial doctrines in modern politics and to draw up a general statement on the nature of race as it is understood today. The gist of the UNESCO document was that, quote, mankind is one. All men belong to the same species. So, it doesn't matter, you can pick evolution or creationism and you're going to be able to support the United Nations principle of one race, one world concept. So you can basically take your pick then between these two concepts and get the same ultimate message. It's like Republicans and Democrats, their difference are only superficial. Creationists are actually evolutionists, and both are in error. So what then is the true origin of the races? Well, the only logical alternative to a common origin is that the races did not have a common origin. They each had a different and separate origin. And the only way the races could have a separate and different origin is if they were created that way by God in the first place. It's just like male and female. Where did that come from? Did it evolve or develop? Or was that way from the beginning? The race-like sex is part of the God-ordained act. Now, if races are created by God, well, this is a concept, of course, that they want to avoid, because, you know, if the races are created by God, then they are of different origins. And if they are of different origins, then there is no basis for their equality claim. The racial traits are so different and so permanent that they could only have come from different sources. And I think anybody that looks throughout history will discover that. Anybody that does any searching on it will discover it. I have a quote here from a book called Race and Races. And this was written by a black biologist by the name of Richard Goldsby, 1971. You can probably find this in your library. Page 5, he says, quote, "The enormous diversity between racial groups suggests that the races did not have a common parental origin, but rather it appears that multiple Adams and Eves were the cause of this diversity. He's stating a true and obvious principle that anybody with half a brain should be able to determine and deduce." Now, the creationists try to say that all races developed or evolved from Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And this is based upon the accounts of their dispersion as recorded in Genesis. It's not only Noah's three sons, but their sons. And we've got all these nations named after them. Professor Faith wrote a book called Races of the Old Testament. He was a well-known archaeologist and anthropologist. Here's what he said about the 10th chapter of Genesis, where the creationists get this concept from. He says, "The 10th chapter of Genesis is ethnographical rather than ethnological. It does not profess to give an account of the different races of the world and to separate them one from another according to their various characteristics. It is descriptive merely, and such races of men that fell within the horizon. It is descriptive merely, and such races of men as fell within the horizon of the writer are described from the point of view of the geographer and not the ethnologist. We shall never understand the chapter rightly unless we bear in mind that its purpose is geographical." So it was just describing geographical areas which Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their sons moved into, and those lands were named after them. Like Canaan is named after Ham's son. And that's what they are. And creationists just basically say, well, these are races that evolved. But they don't say how this evolution ever occurred or how long it took. So creationists have this one race, which is Noah's family, and from them all races developed. And they also extend this type of evolution to things like dogs. They'll say all the dogs that exist now evolved from one ancestral dog population. Mm-hmm. Or ancestral dog kind, to use their words. This change or transformation of one kind or species into another is the basis of evolutionism. The concept is regarded usually as a fiction by creationists when an evolutionist say that a frog evolved into a reptile, but it is something God ordained when one dog kind evolved into a wolf and a Pekingese and a German Shepherd and a Great Dane and a Chihuahua and a Coyote and a Jackal. That's what they said. All these dog types came from that one dog type. Well, why do they say something so stupid? Well, they need that to help support that all races of man came from one source. If we follow their thinking, we are not to believe evolutionists who tell us that the species evolved over millions of years, yet we are to believe creationists who say species evolved in a very short period of time, 100 years or less. Well, history has proven the foolish notions of the creationists. The ancient paintings that we can find on places like Egypt and Assyria have various pictures, artwork, sculpture, and so forth, which show the various types of dogs as they exist today. You can find pictures of the wolf, the greyhound, the turnspit, St. Bernard, going back thousands and thousands of years, back to 3000 BC. So, and that was before the flood. So are we supposed to believe then that we're all wiped out in the flood and then we evolved again? They just never explain that. But these records also show the different races of man existing. And some of them are even in color. They're clearly drawn, and their form and racial characteristics are clearly distinctive that anybody can see. So these also go back to probably 3500 BC, and they also appear before the flood, and they appear after the flood. I've got a quote here by Professor Carlton Coon. He is a famous anthropologist. His books can be found in almost any library. This comes from his book called The Origin of the Races, 1962. Page 3, quote, "Racial differentiation can be traced back to at least 3000 BC as evidenced in Egyptian records, particularly artistic representations." It's more than just the artistic representation. There's also like the mummies and the skeletons and so forth. In fact, there's fossil evidence of man existing in different races going back 30,000 years, going back into what's called the Cro-Magnon period. And we can find racial types such as the Tasmanian type was found, the Oriental type was found, the Negro type was found, other various types that are different and that are distinctive today according to their bones and skeletons. This proves that the races did not come from Noah's three sons. They had existed long before that. In the field of zoology, it is the permanence of a type, permanence of characteristics, is regarded as the surest test of a species. And the evidence proves that man has been permanent for thousands of years, going back to, like I said, at least 3500 BC. Race is a term that's used today to apply to the different species of man. Species, what is a species? A species is any specifically created life form, anything that God specifically created. That is what a species is. The Bible uses the word kind. If you look up the word kind in the Bible, like Strong's Concordance, he uses the word species to describe that word kind. And things were supposed to be designed to follow the kind after kind principle. Species after species. Race after race. And all of history shows that this has been a permanent characteristic, that they do produce kind after kind. A strange thing is that all of the early evolutionists, like Charles Darwin, Thomas Huxley, Ernst Haeckel, they all believed that the different races of man were different species. It was only a question of how many. Some had 3, some had 5, some had 12, and so forth. Just to give you a quote on what some of them have said. This is a quote from a Professor Hankins. He wrote a book in 1926 called The Racial Basis of Civilization. He says this, "It is true, as Darwin declared in The Descent of Man, that the varieties of mankind are so distinct that similar differences found in any other animal would warrant their classification in different species, if not different genera. Genera, we got species, genus, or genera is plural or whatever, and family, and it keeps on going up until there's greater division until you get to plant and animal, the greatest division of all. But species is the basic lowest element where there's a complete difference. Ernst Haeckel was another evolutionist, during Darwin's time. He said this, "If Negroes and Caucasians were snails, zoologists would universally agree that they represented two very excellent species, which could never have originated from one pair by gradual divergence." But it is strange that there exists this confusion about the classification of man. You know, when biologists come to a division of insects or plants or animals, they don't have that problem. You see, it's an emotional thing when it comes to the division of the races of man. They apply the same principles that they do to man, then they come up with, just like all the old evolutionists and all the naturalists said, that they represent different species. One of the most famous, one of the best naturalist was a man named Dr. Knott. You never heard of him, but he was a contemporary of Charles Darwin, and I probably rate him about in matters of study and learning and knowledge and understanding about a thousandfold above Darwin. Darwin was not much of a scientist, never was even regarded as a naturalist until he came out with his book. This guy was a medical doctor, Dr. Knott. Here's what he thinks, what he said. "I think that the genus Homo includes many primitive species, and that these species are amenable to the same laws which govern species in any other genera. So far as the races of man can be traced through osteology, which is the study of bones, history, and monuments, the present volume establishes that they have always been distinct. No example is recorded where one race has been transformed into another by external causes. Permanence of type must be regarded, therefore, as an infallible test of specific character." I have a lot of his stuff quoted in this book of mine from him because I thought it was so extremely valuable and true and accurate. And he was accurate. He even had the scriptures down right. But the creationists, we find now, cannot really have their mystical transformation of one man's family into many races, which supposedly occurred in, like I said, a very short period of time. History, osteology, anthropology, and every other type of science wipes out such a notion. They said it's an emotional problem. They won't apply the same standards and physical laws to the human types as they do to animals. The creationists will have the obvious differences between the races come from the environment, from mutations, from adaptations, from isolation, from anything except from by the hand of God. That is the one thing in their minds that the difference of races could never, ever be. Yet that is the one thing that the different racial, that these different, that the evidence clearly points to, that they are created that way, because their permanence type and so forth goes so far back in history that it could be not from any other way but being created by God. Now, I got some time left? Question? Well, somebody's got questions. Got to have questions. Yes, sir. Not all hybrids are sterile. When you cross two different species, you will get a different type. But one of the big arguments for man being one species is that they can interbreed. But that concept has been disproven so long ago that it's amazing anybody could still hold up to it. Crosses between different families and different orders in the structure have been proven to occur. And things that are clearly two different species, and even greater difference than species. So that argument that there's not a difference in races because they can interbreed is so long ago been disproven that the fact that somebody would bring that up shows that they have nothing else to support their claims of the one race concept. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Between your white race and the Caucasian race, I think one of the passages is saying some all white people are not Caucasian, but all Caucasians are white.
Well, Caucasian is a term that was actually invented by a naturalist named Blumenbach about 1780. He divided the races into five classifications. And actually, he took it from the people who then lived in and around the Caucasus Mountains. And then he just took everybody that's light-skinned and grouped it into that classification. If you look in Webster's 1828 dictionary, you won't find the word Caucasian. It didn't really exist then. It's something that gradually used, and now we use it as a term for the white race, you know, us, but that's where that word came from. Are all white people Israelites? Well, who did Joseph marry? Joseph didn't marry an Israelite. He married an Egyptian princess. Egypt was then inhabited by a lot of white Adamite people. And when an Israelite marries a white Adamite, their offspring is an Israelite, regarded as an Israelite. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.